Good morning, everybody. I hope you had a good weekend. The good news today is that the government is not shut down, as they did approve, pass, and sign a deal into law for the budget late last week. What that means for agriculture is our top story today that we'll get to in just a few minutes. Meanwhile, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue is a busy man as he makes his way out west to the World Ag Expo. He talked at the National Grocers Association convention yesterday that was in Las Vegas, and today he's scheduled to tour a dairy, a livestock operation, and an orchard all in Las Vegas, followed by a town hall meeting. All of that before his town hall meeting at the International Agri Center tomorrow at World Ag Expo, and then followed by a tour of the grounds. If he's anything like he was when our parent company Agnet Media hosted him at Citrus Expo last year, he likely will walk all around the grounds tomorrow, as he seems to really enjoy that. So if you're headed out to the show tomorrow, keep your eye out. A reminder that all of our coverage from the World Ag Expo this year is brought to you by Agwell Solar, a division of Nuance Energy, and Yara North America. Now here's Brian German with what else is happening tomorrow at the World Ag Expo.
The 51st World Ag Expo Farm Show starts tomorrow at the International Agri Center in Tulare. As the largest annual agricultural exposition of its kind, World Ag Expo is host to more than 1,500 exhibitors displaying the latest ag technology and equipment on 2.6 million square feet of exhibit space. The farm show also features multiple seminars in a variety of categories, including dairy, irrigation, international trade, farm management, and general agriculture. The Seminar Center offers an opportunity for industry professionals, as well as those new to agriculture, to learn about the latest tips to customize a farming operation and increase efficiency. Seminar hosts provide valuable information on specific topics, from networking to bovine genetics. On Tuesday, February 13th, Trailer One will host seminars beginning at 10 a.m. on solar asset management for ag operations, the recycling of ag plastic, using biodegradable mulch films in specialty crops, among others. Trailer 2 will feature seminars on a variety of topics, including dairy drinking water quality, alternatives to genomic testing, and profiting from methane capture. Hosted by Women in Agriculture, Trailer 3 will have presentations on CV salts, the financial state of agriculture, getting the most from your FSA and rural development program, among others. Stay with Agnet West for more from this year's World Ag Expo, taking place February 13th through the 15th at the International Agri Center in Tulare.
Thanks again to Brian for that report, and now let's get to today's top story. A spending bill was finally passed and signed into law last week, avoiding another substantial government shutdown. House Agriculture Committee Chair and Congressman Mike Conaway said the bill didn't knock anybody's socks off.
Congress passed and the president signed into law the Budget Control Act of 2018. It's a bill that nobody's really super enamored with. Mac Thornberry had the best analogy. It's like you own a home. You've got termites in the basement and the roof's on fire. So you got to fix them both. And you go after the most immediate one first, and then you've got to fix the longer term issue later. And that's why we are here. We've going to spend the money to fix the military, but we still have to address the impact this will have on future deficits as well as the overall financial structure of our country.
Conaway did say, however, that there's a few things buried in the bill that'll make the farm bill process easier.
Tucked away in the bill is a really favorable position for cotton and dairy. Our team lobbied really hard to get those in this bill, and it sets up help for cotton farmers and dairymen now. The 18 crop will be the one that's covered by this one. Really pleased that these provisions were included in the bill. It takes one of the big ticket items off the table that I would have had to deal with when we do the farm bill. Actually, two. The dairy fix provides additional resources for us to work with. I'll be dealing with, working with Colin Peterson, ranking member on the dairy issues. He's got some concerns about the fix that's in the bill, and he and I will work to alleviate those concerns as we move forward. Having both cotton and dairy fixed in this spending bill will make the farm bill process just a little less difficult.
4 years ago, Sonoma County Wine Growers President Carissa Cruz told Agnet West about a lofty goal they had for their region.
So a year ago, we actually made a very bold commitment to be the first wine region in the U.S. of Sonoma County that's 100% sustainable.
Bold was definitely the right term. We caught up with Cruz 4 years later at this year's Unified Wine and Grape Symposium for an update.
Yeah, so we're now 4 years into our commitment, and we just keep making, forward progress. So You know, there's two parts to the sustainability initiative. One is vineyards have to go through kind of an assessment process, and that's you have to do that before you can do anything else. We are 92% of our vineyards now in Sonoma County are part of our sustainability initiative. The second piece is being certified, so that means you actually go through an audit. So that's kind of the next layer of this commitment. We are 72% of the way there. There's always a lag. You go through an assessment, then you actually have to call and find an auditor and set it up and schedule it. And on farmer time, that can take a while. So we're 72% of the way there, and that's really going to be our focus for the next 12 to 18 months is that certification process to bring, you know, those 90% plus vineyards into the certification process. So we're making tremendous progress. It's just incredible. I mean, the growers have stepped up. They've embraced it. They are now, I mean, they lead the charge on this now. It's like they lead the conversations at the board meetings, not me. You know, at meetings, they're really proud that they've made this commitment. So.
We now have the final agriculture trade figures for all of calendar 2017. Gary Crawford has more.
U.S. agricultural export sales began to trail off toward the end of 2017, but for all of calendar 17,
you end up with $138.4 billion worth of agricultural exports.
Up $3.7 billion, or about 3% from 2016. This from Agriculture Department economist Bryce Cook, and he says while our exports were slowing down at the end of the year, imports were picking up. They set a record $121 billion, and so for all of last year compared to 2016,
the trade surplus for 2017 was down $2.9 billion to a surplus of about $17.4 billion.
Looking at some export numbers for U.S. products, soybean exports dropped last year by 4% in volume, 5% in value.
Also, corn was down slightly, 5% in volume terms and 8% in value.
Some products did make gains last year.
Wheat increased 14% in both value and volume.
And cotton shipments up 32%, value up 47%. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
This is Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. We'll be right back.
Agnet West Radio Network.
California Farm Bureau President Jamie Johansson says he's reassured
your trusted agriculture news provider for the state of California. Stay up to date with the latest agriculture news from Agnet West Radio Network and online at agnetwest.com.
Welcome back to Agnet West's Farm City Newsday. More agriculture news for you now.
After the amount of powdery mildew seen in vineyards in 2017, a multifaceted approach is going to be needed to deal with the disease. Director of Viticulture for Vino Farms in Lodi, Chris Storm, talked about what is going to be required to address powdery mildew going forward.
We sort of need to rethink how we set up our trellises to develop canopies that are more open, further away from the ground, better light interception, better air movement through the canopies. And all of that's going to allow you to put the fungicides where they need to be on the inside of the canopy rather than the outside. And then using a combination of systemic and contact fungicides that if you do have an issue, the contact fungicide would basically eradicate, and then the systemic would protect. But it's got to be the dual approach, because without one, you're gonna see breakdown in the system, which is really what we saw this year, a breakdown in the system. It didn't work.
I'm Brian German for Agnet West Radio Network.
Well, in today's livestock news, the two-year budget deal passed by congressional budget leaders is key for agriculture, including farm program fixes, disaster aid, and tax break extenders. American Farm Bureau budget advisor R.J. Carney looks at some of the key program fixes needed to write the next farm bill.
There's a modification of the margin protection program for dairy producers, which will help lower premium rates and monthly margin calculations. In addition, there's a removal of the $20 million cap on livestock-related expenditures under the Federal Crop Insurance Program.
The bill also included $90 billion in disaster aid, much of it for farmers and ranchers.
This is critically needed for farmers and ranchers that were impacted by the natural disasters last year in areas of Florida, Texas, out west with the wildfires, and California, and other states that were impacted with those natural disasters.
Various groups were pleased with passage of the budget deal. That includes the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Their Senior Vice President of Government Affairs, Colin Woodall, issued a release saying the Bipartisan Budget Act put forward by Congress is an important step towards ending the cycle of short-term funding resolutions. In addition to providing a degree of fiscal certainty, he said the bill will ensure that ranchers and beef producers harmed by natural disasters last year will receive the federal support they deserve. And Jim Mulhern, President and CEO of the National Milk Producers Federation, in a statement said it's an important victory for America's dairy farmers as the budget does include major improvements to the dairy safety net. He said the enhancements to the Margin Protection Program, or MPP, coupled with the expansion of additional risk management options, are coming at a crucial time for producers. And speaking of dairy, some wonder if U.S. dairy operators are still planning on expanding their herds. Well, according to this story from Gary Crawford, a new USDA report gives some clues on that question.
This Agriculture Department cattle inventory report has some dairy numbers in it, first on January 1st across the U.S.
We had about 9.4 million dairy cows, which was about 1% above a year ago.
And Agriculture Department livestock analyst Shale Jagam says it looks like the dairy herd will keep growing a little bit.
Producers do indicate intentions to hold back about 1% more heifers for milk cow replacement.
Now, of course, those are very small increases in current milk cow inventory and in breeding intentions.
But, you know, again, you still have continued growth in milk per cow. So even if we talk about a small increase in cow numbers during 2018, we are still talking about increases in output per cow, which will help boost milk production during the year.
December's average milk per cow was 11 pounds over a year earlier, the highest in at least 14 years. 2018 milk production expected up about 1.5%, sending the expected 2018 all milk average price down about 1%. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
Thanks, Gary. And a new video series seeks to close the gap from farm to fork by America's turkey farmers. The National Turkey Federation has prepared a new series of videos and resources that the group says offers common sense answers about raising healthy turkey flocks on family farms. You can find the videos at americasturkeyfarmers.org. I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West. AgriView with Everett Greiner is next.
Well, the feral hog problem is over. Wouldn't that be a marvelous headline across the country? But it isn't. In fact, it gets worse. It's so bad until those trying to stop it have turned to the last resort. Poison. Everything else has failed. One farmer in Alabama has killed over 200 of these destructive creatures on his farm in less than a year. Total crop damage now runs something like $1.5 billion a year. The use of poison will be tested in two areas this year. I can't say where right now, but I'll be watching. They'll root up any crop, but they're especially fond of corn and peanuts. You know what? They'll root up a 4 to 6 foot hole right in the middle of your field. Yes, scientists are working with wildlife officials in the affected area, so things there are okay. Nothing but hope now. And that's AgriView for today. Everett Greiner, AgNet West.
This is Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. More agriculture news and farm features are coming up. Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I'm Taylor Hillman. In today's interview segment, we talked to one of our World Ag Expo coverage sponsors, Agwell Solar. It's a division of Nuance Energy. I talked to them on the phone about their story and products. So we're talking today with Agwell Solar, a division of Nuance Energy. We're talking to Brian Bogus, who's the founder of this company. You guys are going to be at World Ag Expo, booth number E5. So stop by and see them if you're out there. But Brian, let's start at the base level here and tell me a little bit about Nuance Energy.
Hey, thanks, Doug. So Nuance Energy got its start a few years back. Nuance Energy is a manufacturer of a proprietary ground mount system we call the Osprey Power Platform. And this is a very innovative ground mount system that uses earth anchor technology to secure the product to the ground. Now, what does that mean to the grower? It means that as a manufacturer direct to the customer, we can pass on those savings to the grower because our product is incredibly affordable. The earth anchor allows us to install the ground mount system near irrigation systems and ag pumps with low cost. There's no pile-driven systems. There's no concrete or cement to pour. There's no skilled labor to hire to install it. So low-cost labor, low cost of goods can be passed on to the consumer. The Osprey Power Platform is revolutionizing how ground mount solar is installed today. It drives the cost down, as I said, and it allows for a rapid deployment of the ground mount system. We used BR San Juan Farms in Madeira, for example. We installed 75 kilowatts. Our senior project developer that was new to us had guesstimated 3 weeks for the install. We had it installed in 5 days. Our product is installed throughout the world. We're a global manufacturer. We have facilities in Fresno off of Ashcroft. And we've been offering the Osprey Power Platform now for about the last 4 years to the Central Valley grower. We're in a lot of different states throughout the United States, and as I said, different countries. Nuance Energy's division, Agwell Solar, is a kind of a brand that we brought into the Central Valley to offer solar energy services to the grower directly. We found that by offering not only the product, but the service behind the product was the natural fit, and Agwell Solar is a great name to go into a grower and offer a consultative approach to solar systems, energy storage, and water flow automation, water flow management. We actually lead with water to offer solar and energy storage to our growers today.
So Agwell Solar is the brand and name that people are probably familiar with. We talked earlier before we started recording here, why should farmers, ranchers, and agribusiness owners be interested in solar energy? You told me an interesting story, and you just referenced it there about how it derives from that water efficiency, but why should people be interested in solar energy?
Yeah, about 8 or 9 years back, when I was offering solar in the Bay Area, I noticed that a lot of the homes were going through energy efficiency improvements, and if we did that, we could actually lower the cost of the solar system by offering a smaller solar system. And so we looked at the whole house as an envelope first, looked at the low-hanging fruit, offered them insulation or doors and windows, roofing insulation, as I said, and eventually HVAC systems, and that got the efficiency of the envelope better, so you could get a smaller solar system. That model works with irrigation. If you can offer soil sensors and flow meters, if you can install some variable frequency drives on your pumps, you're going to reduce your demand charges. And if you do that, you don't need as large a solar system. So we took that model and branded ourselves Agwell Solar in the Valley to lead with water to offer solar and energy storage. It's been a great fit for the small and mid-sized growers out there that need a helping hand to understand what solar can do for them and their cash flow, how they can invest in water flow management and water automation, and tie that in with the smaller solar system and take advantage of the solar energy incentives out there.
You have another brand that you're working on. It's kind of some education involved in this. It's called CalWare. Brian, talk about CalWare and what it is.
I want to say 7 or 8 years ago, I was working for another company, and I would drive out to the valley, and I'm always passing all the irrigation systems and ag pumps along the way. And I began to think about how can you make those systems more efficient. And we joined the WET Center at Fresno State University in 2014 under the label Nuance Energy. And I began to learn from some of the members of the WET Center what they did well and what could be improved. And what I noticed in the market was that there was a need for an educational platform from Butte County all the way down to Bakersfield, and how to educate growers on on-farm energy management best business practices. I interviewed the Department of Ags at community colleges, state universities, even the UC programs, and these programs are not offering on-farm energy management as its core curriculum in some of these departments, or even the workshops that they have created. They're offering the chemicalization, the fertilization, and even irrigation content, but on-farm energy management, from water flow management, water automation, all the way through solar systems and energy storage, is not being taught. And so CalWare is an educational platform to be an advocate for this content and to be able to partner with these Department of Ags up and down the state to find subject matter experts that can come in and speak as a panelist and engage with the audience in kind of a town hall approach and help them understand the value of water flow management, the irrigation efficiencies created from that, how to combine that with the solar system, how to understand what solar storage and energy storage can do for them, and then learn about the legislation that's soon to pass with time of use, how to finance this whole thing, and come up with a more economical solution, and that's only going to improve their cash flow and bottom line.
We'll conclude our interview with Agwell Solar after the break. This is Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I'm Taylor Hillman. We now conclude our interview with Agwell Solar, who's sponsoring AgNet West's coverage at the World Ag Expo. Owner Brian Bogus talks about the importance of storing solar energy for mid to smaller operations.
Before we started recording, too, we talked about battery storage, and that kind of led you to the CalWare thing, too. Talk about the importance of battery storage and the development of that and the idea of that. I mean, it's especially for the mid to smaller grower, that's going to be important.
Yeah, it is. Thank you. You know, what crushes your cash flow? Energy spend. Energy spend is probably a number one or two cost of a problem to the grower. So how do you improve that? You improve your yield or you lower your costs. And energy is a cost to the grower. Demand charges went up 13% in 2016. Did anybody blink or hear anything about it? No. Why? Because the utilities are not going to tell you about that. How do you get rid of demand charges? You create efficiencies at the pump. You use VFDs. You install solar and you install energy storage to offset those demand charges when the sun goes down. Demand charges are 24/7. They're in 15-minute intervals. So if your operations team is not on top of manually turning your pumps on or off, and you haven't gone with an automatic system, you're going to engage in a demand charge.
You talked about an example in Madera of how the installation went a lot faster, saved a lot of money for the grower. Do you have any other examples of savings that are possible on a, you know, I hate to use the term typical project because every project is different, but do you have some example savings you'd like to share?
Sure. I'll use a great example. We engaged with four family farms in 2017, and we actually won the business because the other solar companies were pitching large megawatt solar systems on their properties, which would require the utilities to upgrade the transformers in order to handle that load. And so our presentation to the growers was, well, wait a second, let's use the existing infrastructure that you have. And with the Osprey Power Platform, we can keep your costs down. We can go install four and five and six solar systems on your property rather than one large multi-megawatt project and have to you'll have paid for your solar system with these larger systems, and then you'll have to wait for the utility companies to improve the transmission lines. If you're financing your project, you're going to have to pay for that finance. If you're paying out of cash, you're going to have to sit and wait for the project to be PTO'd. That's a permission to operate, and you can't get a PTO if the utility hasn't upgraded those transformers to handle the load. So that presentation with the grower really spoke volumes to them that we can install much faster than your typical large megawatt system and use existing infrastructure without waiting for the utility to upgrade the lines. That saved them hundreds of thousands of dollars in waiting.
Brian, last question here is there's some tax changes that could benefit some growers here in this, right?
Yeah, there are some tax changes. The recent corporate tax reduction will improve the bottom line for anybody that owns an S-Corp, C-Corp, LLC, any corporation. So what does that mean? Well, let's say you were in a 35% tax bracket and your new tax bracket is 21% from this tax change. That's an extra 14% in profits. What are you going to do with those profits? You're going to invest in your farm. You're going to invest in capital assets. What's an asset? Solar is an asset to you. So why not take that free money from your profits with that new tax incentive and look at solar to improve your cash flow and bottom line? There's other incentives that are available with solar. There's a federal tax credit of 30%. You can carry it back 1 year and carry it forward up to 20 years if you don't use that tax credit in the year that you install the solar system. There's MACRS depreciation and bonus accelerated depreciation that truly drive the savings up and the cost down for solar on the bottom line. We talk to CPAs all the time. As a matter of fact, CPAs will be part of the panelists for CalWare so that these growers can come in and listen to a third party explain the value of the cash flow generated from solar systems and energy storage.
Well, thanks for your time today. Again, Brian, I really appreciate it. Again, this is Agwell Solar, a division of Nuance Energy. They will be at World Ag Expo. So To my listeners, go by and see them at the expo. They're booth E5. And Brian, I want to thank you again for your time, and I hope you guys have a good show.
Hey, Taylor, it's been a pleasure. Appreciate it.
To get more information on topics you've heard today, visit AgNet West online at agnetwest.com. You can also follow AgNet West on Twitter and Facebook with @AgNetWest. Follow Brian German @BrianAgNetWest and Taylor Hillman @TheManOfTheHill. This has been Farm City Newsday by AgNet West.